This is file 35, circle 2. Today's date is August 1st, 2016. This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Amy Rasner-Clulo on SOAR. And one of the first questions I'll ask her is what the initials stand for. But first, we'll start with the genealogical information. What is your name?
My name is Amy Rasner-Clulo.
And your birthday?
July 25th, 1969.
And your birthplace, please?
Columbus, Ohio.
Your parents' names?
Robert Rasner and Barbara Hess.
How do you spell her maiden name?
H-E-S-S.
And do you have siblings?
I do. One older brother, Robert, and an older sister, Susan. Another older sister, Laura, and another older brother, Gregory.
You must be the youngest.
I'm the youngest.
Bless you. Educational background after high school?
I attended University of California, San Diego, in La Jolla.
And your degree?
Political theory.
How did you come to the area?
We purchased a home in Lakeville in 2009, and was it 2009, Jean? Did I tell you it was 2009?
That's what you told me before.
Okay, I have to think about this. 2006. I think it was 2007, and then we came to the area full-time in 2009.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, what does S-O-A-R stand for?
Seek, originate, aim, reach.
And when did SOAR actually begin?
Well, we celebrated 15 years last fall, so we're about to turn 16.
So it would be about 2001?
Yes.
Okay. And whose idea was it?
The idea to begin SOAR was Zenas Blocks.
And how was this operation funded originally?
Originally, Zenas recruited a handful of private donors to kind of seed money for SOAR. He was the primary contributor and solicited participation from other key contributors to partner with Salisbury Central School.
Who was the principal when SOAR started?
Paul Sales.
Okay. And I think you said that some of the aims were to develop different learning styles and make it affordable for most people?
Sure. It's my understanding that Zenas really wanted there to be some programming that allowed the local public school to extend learning and enrich the learning experience beyond kind of traditional or typical classroom experiences for students. So to explore other areas of interest beyond reading, writing,
and
science,
arithmetic.
Math. Yeah.
Right. Do you have a board?
We do have a board.
And how many are on the board?
Generally 10 to 12 sit on the board.
Is it a mix of faculty, community, educators, or how is it mixed?
Sure. The composition of the board is something that we've paid pretty close attention to as we've developed the organization. So we are eager to have a balance of current families who are part of the Salisbury Central school community, current teachers and administration from Salisbury Central where possible, as well as members of the extended community. And in addition, we try to pay attention to kind of competencies and experiences of our board members. So it's important for us to have members of the board who are specifically skilled in the areas of finance, operations, legal, fundraising and development, board development and recruitment. So we kind of have an eye on a number of different things.
So that you have experts in various fields?
We do.
Well planned. Do you have a term of office?
Yes. Board members serve in three-year increments and are welcome to serve two consecutive terms.
Who develops the programs themselves?
Our program director, currently Louise Fallon, works with a committee called the Program Committee. So another group of volunteers that consists of current families, current teachers and administration from Salisbury Central School, and other members of the community. And together they work to develop kind of consistent and continuous programming. So programming that maintains some consistency year to year, builds on previous programming, and most importantly, kind of hits the interests of students of Salisbury Central School.
Wonderful. And I do have Louise. Mm-hmm. I did get Louise. How do you fund this project?
SOAR continues to be privately funded. We don't receive grants from the town or the state. So we undertake a number of efforts to secure funding. We do an appeal, a mail appeal twice per year. And in addition, we've partnered very successfully in the recent few years with other local organizations to do kind of on-the-ground fundraising. So we sold lemonade at the most recent Trade Secrets event. We've partnered with SWASA. We've partnered with Noble Horizons, a number of local organizations. We've done concessions at Hotchkiss Theater Productions. So a number of different kind of smaller undertakings to yield funds from the local community.
Was Berkshire Taconic involved at all?
Yes, so we were originally, when Zenas founded SOAR, we were originally founded as a fund of the Berkshire Taconic Community Foundation and enjoyed a very successful relationship there for many years. It wasn't until a couple of years ago that we undertook filing for independence from Berkshire Taconic. We had really grown into our own small organization, and it seemed time for us to establish our own 501c3. So we did that a couple of seasons ago.
How much money, generally, do you have to run the program? What's your budget?
That's a great question for Louise, who really tracks that.
Then I will ask for that one.
We typically have, we continue to have an endowment fund at the Berkshire Taconic Community Foundation, and we draw a portion of those funds down each year, and then we maintain an operating fund that typically is 2 to 3 times an annual operating budget, so that we're sure to
have
consistent funds for programming.
Who's eligible to attend these programs?
So SOAR, kind of the hallmark of SOAR is after-school workshops that run in the fall, some in the winter, and then again in the spring. That's really the hallmark of the program. And the after-school programs can be attended by any student at Salisbury Central, first grade through eighth grade. We agreed early on and continue to revisit this notion that pre-K and K have a very full day in a school day, and extending the school day is not necessarily the most productive use of time for our youngest students.
No.
But in addition to after-school programming, SOAR provides funding for all-school assemblies that hit all students at Salisbury Central School, as well as grants by grade level. So if, for example, one that's top of mind, a few seasons ago, the sixth grade was reading Treasure Island, and the National Theater was doing a simulcast at the Millerton Movie House of Treasure Island. And so SOAR, the teachers applied for and SOAR granted funds for the sixth grade to see the National Theater's production of Treasure Island.
But what a wonderful opportunity. Hmm. What a wonderful opportunity. You charge a fee for the classes.
We do. One of the things that Zenas was really adamant about early on is that this needed to be an affordable and accessible undertaking for families at Salisbury Central School, that the cost of enrichment programming in the area can be very prohibitive for families and keep students from pursuing their interests. And so when he started the organization, he decided he would charge a nominal fee, I think maybe $15. Generally, that's up to about $25, $15 to $25 per workshop. And there are, at times, a materials fee if it's a materials-intensive undertaking. There are generally a couple of workshops that run free of charge each season. And additionally, students who are in the extended day after-school programming of extras, which is childcare for students of all ages at Salisbury Central. They pay a fee for that, and so we relieve their SOAR fees if they'd like to do SOAR before they head on to extras. And lastly, families are certainly welcome to ask for additional financial support. We certainly don't turn students away for inability to pay that fee.
If a family has, say, three children in the program, do you do a family discount, or is each child a $15 for the various workshops?
Each child, so some students take three or four classes per season, and then therefore pay a fee per class. We don't have a specific sibling discount, but again, there isn't a financial aid application. It's simply a matter of saying to our program director, hey, we could use a hand with fees this term, and having a discussion with her to see what type of relief might be helpful.
I see. All right. And in these workshops, what's the maximum number of students?
It really depends on the workshop. So a few seasons ago, I taught a knitting class, and it helped me to not only connect with the kids and help them with something that they wanted to learn about, but it also helped me to really understand how the program worked. So at the start, I was asked how many students would be appropriate for my section, how long the section should be, how frequently we should meet, what kinds of materials we would need to provide. And through that, we decided there were two of us who were teaching the class. We maxed out at 12 students our first term. We partnered up with Hammertown to provide all of the materials for the class, so there was no materials fee for students. And as is often the case, as teachers, we decided to pass back our teaching wages to SOAR. So a lot of our instructors do that. Some enjoy the income, and others, when they can, go ahead and volunteer their time to teach. Our second term of teaching knitting, we were able to we'll up the number of students that we're teaching, but we need a certain number of returners so that we can have beginners and returners partnered up
to
get the mentoring going. Yeah, so that's a discussion at the start of class, but I would say most classes are a max of 10 to 15 at the top. Lastly, I would add to that a couple of seasons ago, there were a number of younger sections that were running, and some students who had enjoyed those sections as young kids had aged out, and so we asked them if they might rejoin those sections. Janet Kaufman's Fun Fitness is the one that comes to mind. We had some middle schoolers who had been in every section of that class, and we asked them to come back as teacher's assistants. So we were able to accommodate a larger number of young students because we had a couple of middle school helpers who knew the program well.
And that makes a great deal of difference because you've got people that have experience in the program to help those that may have difficulty.
Well, they had experience in the program, and then they had gone through, we had partnered with the Red Cross to do a babysitting certification. So they had been students in Fun Fitness, they were certified babysitters, and then could come back with the experience and the skills to be helpful to the younger students.
You've mentioned organizations that you've partnered with, including the Red Cross, Noble Horizons, the Women's Support Services, Hotchkiss, SWASA, and the Congregational Church.
Mm-hmm.
Have I left anybody out?
Wow, we should really ask Louise, because I feel like we might have left someone out.
I will ask Louise.
Those are the ones that come to mind.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's fine. What are your time slots? When do you start? When do you end? Or is it flexible depending upon the workshop?
Depends on the workshop and depends on the term. So some workshops run, 4 sessions. Some run 12. Some run longer. We typically have a season that starts up late September, early October, and runs through the end of October to mid-November. Usually they're wrapped up before the Thanksgiving break.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we partner with the Hotchkiss Farm. They come pick up a group of students, head out to the farm to partner up with their after-school farming program. So the Hotchkiss students are providing a bit of mentorship. The Salisbury Central students are learning about the farm and the operations there. That happens once a week for 6 sessions. The theater program that has been directed by Michael Berkeley this past season, and it's my understanding will happen again, you can imagine, meets a bit more frequently over a longer period of time. And they'll put together a production that'll be staged in November.
But do you start after school ends, yes, for the most part?
Yeah, so after school. So school ends shortly after 3 o'clock. Most workshops get underway right after that. We convene all students in the cafeteria to take attendance and make certain that we've got all students that we're expecting and any students who are absent, you know, doing all the mm-hmm. kind of housekeeping before we disperse students to their SOAR classrooms.
And when do they end?
Some classes end as early as 4:30 and some stay as late as 5:30. You can imagine the younger sections are a bit shorter.
Oh, sure.
And the theater section lasts a little bit longer.
And you had said that you would give me a couple of catalogs of the various courses, but would you name a couple of courses that have been utilized in the past?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've had the Mile Run Club. Salisbury Central students, older students, are required to run a timed mile in October. Some students are super excited about that, and others a little less excited. They certainly prepare as part of the PE curriculum, but we launched the Mile Run Club a couple of years ago to try and build some enthusiasm and momentum around that experience of a timed mile. So that's one that's been pretty successful. Janet Kaufman has run Fun Fitness as well as a couple of cooking classes. We've had Bridge Engineering. Jonathan Doster runs season after season a very successful chess program.
Who's?
Jonathan Doster.
How do you spell the Doster?
D-O-S-T-E-R. He's also been a great partner for the second grade grant. In teaching perspective photography, nature photography. Michael Berkeley and theater, the Hotchkiss School has done great things with the farm program. Robotics has been on the docket several seasons. Fencing, we partnered up with the Congregational Church to allow a bit of a larger open space for the launch of a fencing program.
That's a
does
good.
That do it?
That's a good
big range.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, do all of these courses take place at Salisbury Central, or like with the fencing, it goes to the Congregational Church?
Most of our classes take place at Salisbury Central. Some, from a facility standpoint, we've needed to switch locations or for time of day. So we did partner up very successfully with the Congregational Church. We've had really generous offers from other locations around town to host our students if that's necessary for space purposes. We've put our toe in the water for doing some programming on vacation days, and that could be in the future a really nice opportunity to partner with some other locations in town where you're doing, you know, something that can't necessarily be accomplished in an hour and a half after school, but you know, with the expanded couple of hours, we might be able to do that.
And what are some other possibilities that you are toying with in the future?
Classes.
Whatever.
Well, there's been a request for a duct tape art. There have been some really successful art classes over the years for the young kids and for some of the older kids. A few years ago, well, several times, at two different times, we've undertaken a large mural. And I imagine we're about time to undertake that again. There's been a great response to puppet making and felting. Knitting is always a favorite.
Oh, yes. I taught that years ago.
There's been in and out of the curriculum some math, different math programming that's a little bit different but builds upon the school day. One of the things that I think we'll enjoy exploring over the coming seasons is partnering with Salisbury Central to utilize the makerspace. So Salisbury Central is putting in a makerspace, we intend to build some programming around that space.
What is makerspace?
A makerspace, think of kind of a tinkering spot. So, you know, what used to happen when you and I were kids and we'd go into our dad's or our granddad's workshop downstairs in the basement, right? There were all sorts of things that were in disrepair, in half repair, some of them taken apart, some of them not so successfully reassembled. So it's an opportunity for students to kind of experiment with really how things are made. Very tactile learning space. I'm not really doing it justice, most likely, but...
But I get the drift. I get the drift.
It's everything from let's take apart an old DVD player to understand how it worked to, you know, different sewing projects and things of that nature.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
Good variety. What haven't I asked you that I should?
Hmm. think you've covered it. I think it would be smart to talk to current members of the board. I've just rotated off after 6 years of service.
Yes.
And while I will continue to be involved in the organization, there are, this is, you know, we spent, I guess, 4 or 5 years really building the board, and we're now at a place of a full board and kind of ready to move into the next chapter. So Keith Marks is heading that effort. Louise Fallon, as we've talked about, would be a great connection too.
Thank you so much for your information.
You're very welcome.